Marlene just said another funny thing. Please laugh. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Wild Wild West. Some of you are here from a long ways away. Did anybody kind of take a poll as to where everybody here is from? Do you guys have any idea how far flung some of folks' locations are that have gathered on the hillsides of Boise, Idaho today? How many of you are east of the Mississippi? Look at that. How many of you are new to NECANN in the last year? Anybody been in here 5 years? 5 years. Okay. Got a real range here. I have the microphone in my hand, and so I'll be done when I hand it back to Marlene. I'm pleased to be here this morning. This is really a, you didn't come here to hear anything else but what you're going to hear from Wolfgang today, and that's why I'm here. But I had some thoughts about, I think, why we're here today, and kind of perhaps putting this in context. Peter, this is not an Amway meeting. Just in case you were confused. Okay. Stand up a second, Peter. Stand up a second. You think he should be allowed to dress like this here today? I would say, I'd say that comes off or we're going to get some scissors real fast. There we go. Okay. It's all right. You guys from Mississippi, a little behind the times, but that's okay down there. Well, you know what you are here today? Everybody say, I'm a pioneer. You're here today to hear from someone who is really modeling for all of us what it means to be a pioneer. You're in a part of the country today that people ask sometimes, why do you think places like Washington, Idaho, those places out west, why have they led the charge, so to speak, with this whole NECANN thing here in North America? Why have this been such a groundbreaking area? And I don't know that I have all the answers to that, but I definitely believe that there's a alive and well, a pioneering spirit in this part of the world. It took a pioneer to get here in the first place and then to begin to settle it. And there's a real prevalent attitude here that is constantly looking for and open to new things. Not that we don't have settler mentality here, but I just have a couple of thoughts I'd like to share with you about the difference between being a pioneer and a settler. Because you're here to hear from someone who is showing us all a fresh chapter of what it means to be a true pioneer. And I think that's what we're here to glean from Wolfgang today. But, history is full of wonderful examples of people who have challenged conventional thinking, who have asked questions that nobody had been asking for a long time, who were willing to explore life outside of the box that had been established for them, either through environmental conditioning or heritage or whatever. And we benefit from that. Most of the people who are benefactors down the road in terms of the timeline don't realize or appreciate what's been done for them by the pioneers, many of whom they don't even know, because history is often very silent about some of the roles that they played. But we couldn't be here without them. Just a couple, I'll just run down and give you some names, people who have been absolute pioneers. And history, by the way, is always kinder to pioneers than their present critics were or their peers were. Always. It's true of Noah. I won't tell the whole story today. Aristotle literally challenged conventional thinking about knowledge just in general. Columbus, Da Vinci redefined some things concerning art, architecture, sculpture, all kinds of science. Galileo, Newton. You know, just 150 some years ago, a guy named Pasteur came up with a theory of germs. Talk about new radical medicine. Scorned, laughed, because there was just no way that it was necessary to wash your hands before surgery. It was just foolishness. And I'm telling you, my conviction is that today, people who are critical of our health technologies are going to look as ridiculous as the people who thought it was dumb to wash your hands. they're going to look that foolish in a very short period of time. But he was a pioneer. Drive a little ways east of here where we have some people here. Where's Betty Rector? I saw Betty here today. And Lorna, where's Lorna? I see Lorna. Go visit the, if you want to see what the price pioneers paid to come to this part of the world, go visit the Oregon Trail Interpretive Center where they live. An unbelievable sacrifice that people that left where some of you now live to blaze a trail out here. You can drive out here 30, 40 miles and pull over and see ruts still in the ground, the wagon ruts where people abandoned their security and settled out to venture, you know, into new land that was just full of all kinds of unknowns and paid a price to make it possible for Marlene to live here today. Sports, the sporting world is full of pioneers who conceived of ideas that now people earn millions and multi-millions because somebody thought of, you know, throwing a round ball through a peach basket so that Michael Jordan could someday, you know, make the millions that he made. You want a good quote from Michael Jordan, by the way? This is great. He says, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the winning shot, the game-winning shot, and missed." He says, "I have failed over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed." Isn't that great? Just a few months from now, a couple of months from now, we're going to have the Olympic Games in Sydney, and there will be an event that I have a little bit of an affinity for. In 1968, I was a high school high jumper. Not that I jumped that high, it was just the name of the event. But and when you live in South America, you can kind of step over as high as some people down there can jump. I'll never forget the buzz at track one day, because there was some guy that came out of nowhere, a little college in Oregon, to the Mexico City Olympic Games and cleared the bar in a totally unconventional way that nobody had ever heard of before, because everybody up till then had either done the scissor jump or the Western roll. And here was some guy named Fosbury who ran up to the bar and flopped over it backwards and invented the Fosbury flop. I'll never forget, out in the sawdust pit in high school, all of us out there trying to get the hang of running up to the bar and turning around backwards, which is totally unconventional, and trying to flop over this bar backwards. It made no sense. Now, you watch that event this few months from now. Every single jumper today uses the Fosbury flop, many of whom may have never known who he was. But he challenged the conventional way. The world record holder today, that's the way they jump. Pioneers who challenge the conventional thinking, do things a new way. How many of you know who Dr. Orison Swett Marsden is? Anybody here from New Hampshire? Yeah? He was a young boy up in New Hampshire. Lost his mom when he was 3, lost his dad when he was 9, was hired as a rock picker to pick rocks out of the fields of New Hampshire and just dig them out, haul them over the property lines, and stack rocks. How many of you have been to New Hampshire and you've seen the rock piles that form the borders of the property boundaries? And here was a kid who grew up with the dream to do something bigger with his life than just be a rock picker. But he knew that that was valid because it was making fields fertile, possible to be farmed for future generations. Went on to became a self-educated individual. Went to college as the founder of Success Magazine today, and grew up in anonymity picking rocks in New Hampshire. How many of you know who Carl Renborg is? Renborg. He was a guy that was imprisoned in the 20s in China, was a chemist, and learned to subsist off eating grass and bugs and little plants that grew around that he could get access to, and developed a whole philosophy and mindset about nutrition that was revolutionary. And he came back to this country and formed an idea, started formulating nutritional products, and had the novel idea that rather than hiring a sales force, that he would pay his people who wanted to sell his product to recruit other people, and he would pay them a percentage of what they sold. And he's literally the father of network marketing. Invented the Neutralite company, which later became part of the... His two top guys, by the way, were the boys who founded Amway. Renborg. We all benefit today from his unconventional progressive thinking, to think outside of the box when it comes to how you recruit people, how you get a sales force. Amazing. We have all kinds of stories with the Nikan. Who would ever dream that a girl born in East Chicago, Indiana, that grew up with four little girls in a 1,200 square foot house, that would be ambitious enough to try to do the books for a chicken company when she was 14 years old, who had an I can do anything mentality and tried to swim to Cuba when she was 18, made it 7 miles offshore. Who would ever think that a girl like that would live in a house like this? You're here at Marlene's house today. That was her. Just a pioneer who had absolutely no limit thinking. It's awesome. But, let me just contrast for you, because some of you today...
There was a boy in that house, too.
Yeah, I know. I grew up in a house with all sisters, and I know the boys usually slept in the furnace rooms or the back porches, and... Is that right, Greg? Yeah, we got the slim pickings. Yeah, we loved it that way. We were real pioneers. We were built the roughing mentality way back then. Some of you today are at various stages of your business. Some of you are brand new. Some of you are looking at the next chapter of your life in this business. But I can tell you what, collectively, we're all still pioneers in the grand scope of what this is going to be in this country, the rest of the countries of the world. We're still pioneering. Been here 10 years, 11 years. Wolfgang is pioneering a whole marketplace in Europe because he was willing to think unconventionally and challenge ways everybody thought you had to do things, and redefining what it really means to be a success in a part of the world that can be very bound by tradition. And so you're here today to learn from a pioneer, and I challenge you just to open your mind today. Some of you are growing weary of picking rocks. And I just say, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because what you're doing, the work that you're doing, is making it possible for your future generations to have fields that they can plow and plant and reap a harvest in. And some of them will never know who you are, perhaps. But you'll whenever the time comes for the grave digger to throw dirt in your face, you'll know that you did something worthwhile with your life. And... just don't grow weary, because this is a big, big project. Don't have short-term mentality. Did any of you go to Japan? Were you on the Japan trip at all, Marlene, a few years ago? I don't know. We had one trip where they took us to the Imperial Palace Museum, and just to see a work of art there that two or three generations of artisans worked on. Now, knowing that there was a kid born at one point that his entire life was going to be devoted to working on a carving that he knew he would die and never see done, but would teach the skill to his own son that would come along and try to complete it in his lifetime. Long-term, cause-oriented mentality. And that's what we need more of in this business, not short-term sprinters. You're going to see a lot of news made about the sprinters who win the gold medal in the Olympics coming up. But let me ask you, is the marathoner any less of a world-class athlete? And most of us can't pronounce their names because they're from other cultures that understand the meaning of long-term distance running, and we glorify only the sprinters. So you don't be intimidated today if you don't go Royal Diamond in 2.5 years like Wolfgang. It just takes guys like that to blaze trails and to teach people that it's possible. Learn from it, apply it. But let me give you some quick contrast today, and then I'm done. Here's the difference between how pioneers look at things and the way settlers look at things. You determine today which one you are. I hope you're the pioneer. Settlers say, why? Pioneers say, why not? Settlers say, this is the way we've always done it. And pioneers say, let's find a better way to do it. Settlers say, there's a mountain blocking our way. Let's just stop right here. And pioneers say, I wonder what's on the other side of that mountain. Let's go through it, over it, around it, whatever. Let's find out. Settlers say, I'll try. Pioneers say, I'll do it. Settlers say, I've done enough. Pioneers say, what more can I do? Settlers say, wait a minute, how does it work? Pioneers say, look what it does, let's just keep doing it. Settlers say, where are the studies to prove the efficacy of this modality? Pioneers say, take off your blinders, stupid, look at the results. Settlers say, is this one of them pyramid deals? Pioneer Sea, are you still working one of them job deals? Settlers say, I believe in working just hard enough to keep them getting fired. Pour me some more coffee. Pioneers say, wake up and smell the coffee, pal. The company's been sold and we're all fired next week. Settlers say, I'm not sure about this. My brother-in-law says she works with the guy whose ex-wife had a neighbor whose friend's dog choked on a magnet and died. Pioneers say, ask your brother-in-law of how he plans to pay your bills, buy you a new car, build you a house, put your kids through college, take your wife on a cruise, and pay your residual income for the rest of your life. Settlers say, I think I'll wait to get started. Pioneers say, let's get started now. Settlers say, it's hard. Is it really worth it? Pioneers say, I don't care if it's hard, as long as it's possible and worth the effort. Settlers say, yeah, but. Pioneers say, get off yours and get to work. There you have it. Marlene, thank you for the chance to be here. Great to be with you. Wolfgang, honor to be with you today. Thanks.
And for those of you who are hurrying and tried to write all that down, we had that recorded. So we're going to figure out a way to get everything out to you guys. Okay. By the way, who has not heard the egg story about Ed and Ginger? You know, I can't... No. I have the microphone. Does anybody see? Who has the microphone here? Did anybody hear what the little boy said to his mother? What does it mean when the minister says, in conclusion, and the mother said, absolutely nothing? And you guys never heard the story? No. Well, what happened was, you guys all know that Ed was a minister before he was in Niken. And what happened was, he ministered, ministered, and his wife Ginger always had this treasure box hidden in her closet. And he never knew what was happening with it, and she would never, ever let him see it. So finally, he got into Niken. He said, honey, I'm in Niken now. Is there any way that I can just take a peek and see what you have in your treasure box? And she said, well, yeah, I guess so. That's okay. We'll do that. So they went into the bedroom. She gets her little treasure box out. She opens it up, and inside there are two eggs and $10,000. And he looks at that, and he said, what are those eggs doing there? And she said, well, honey, over the last 20 years, every time you gave a poor sermon, what I would do is I would just put an egg in the treasure box. So he's thinking, 20 years, two eggs, hoo-hoo! He's like patting himself on the back going, okay, honey, and what's the $10,000 for? And she said, well, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them. And just to set the record straight, I never swam to Cuba. I don't have any idea where that came from. If I had started swimming to Cuba, I'd be in Cuba right now. What? Yeah. I'd probably swim into some of those eggs that Ginger threw out there. Anyway, Ed and I have a lot of fun, as you can see. What we're going to do now is, I have the list here. This is the sequence of what Wolfgang is going to be speaking about today, and I thought it would be nice for you guys to know the sequence of what's going to happen. And then this afternoon, we're going to have it open for questions and answers when we come back from lunch for Wolfgang. And so we're asking everyone, if you have a question, just to write it down. We'll make sure to have plenty of time for that. And also at the end of the day, after Wolfgang is done, we have Dave Gilday and Greg Belzeski and myself. We went and we thought, what is the one thing that we could really teach the people that we have learned that could give them what they need to go out there and be their own leaders? And so that's what we're going to do later on this afternoon. So what he's going to do is, first he's going to tell his story, how he got into Niken. He's going to explain what's going on in Europe, He's going to compare England to Germany and about the significance of the people using Autoship, Silver Training, Neat Plus. He's going to draw out his entire organization. He's going to explain to us how he got each individual leader that he has, and he's going to tell us about each one by name. And he's going to tell us what the income of the leaders are and how long each one have been in the business. And he's going to tell us the background of the leaders. And then we're going to find out who his original team is and how many of his original team are still in the business today and where exactly each one of them are. He's going to do a detailed description of how he built the teams. He's going to explain to us some of the specific exercises that the teams went through together to increase their vision. And then he's going to hopefully do some sample exercises with us so we can see some of those exercises. He's going to explain to us how his team leaders worked together as a team, and then how he communicated with his leaders, how he divided Germany, and what he says to his leaders to keep them going and to keep their vision strong. So without any further words from me, let's welcome Wolfgang Sonnenberg.
How we can start? I like to start with a small exercise. Can you please do me a favor and make a fist with both hands, please? Fist and bite your teeth together. Yeah? Teeth together. Very, very strong. Very strong. Now think about life. Yeah? But positive. Yeah? Is possible? No. Not possible? Okay. Do another thing. Open your eyes. Yeah, maybe you do this. Yeah, open your eyes and now please be aggressive. It's not working, huh? No? Not working. So, what does it say? There is a direct connection between your body and your feelings, what you can do. Yeah? So if you change something, immediately something is changing in you. And please open your eyes, so I know that you can't be aggressive today. It helps me then, yeah? It's coming from the past, from our evolution. If you open the eyes, we want to have more information. And if you want to have more information, you can't be aggressive. It's not possible. Yeah? So, let's learn just this morning this simple but very important exercise. You want to be a leader, you want to have a big team, so have a look at their body language. Yeah, how they are. It's a lot about being. I think you all heard about to be, to do, and to have. A lot of starting in this business, saying, I want to have a house like this, I want to have the pin, I want to have the money, whatever. But it never will come if you don't change this. Be. And it's so easy if you understand how easy it is. Open up, open your eyes. You can't be aggressive, you can't be sad. It's not possible. Look at people who are depressed, yeah? Do you ever saw someone like this? It's not possible. So it's so easy to change your mood, what's going on in you. And if you start here, then you can have all this. If you just want to have this, or this, don't change here, it's not working. So yesterday, I spoke with someone and said, my business is not really working, I have to do more ABCs. We're here, to do. So if you're running in the wrong direction, would it help to run faster? If you do something wrong, would it help to do more of this? No. Yeah? If something is not working for you, start here. Yeah? And then the rest will follow. So that's why, please, the whole day, use the whole day. What you can find, is there something what you can use to change inside or whatever, thinking, feelings, whatever it is. If you only look what he has or what he's doing, it won't help if you don't change here. Yeah? Okay, now my story. I start with this. My story. Maybe it started 82. I had a back surgery, 82, and then 14 years problems. And when I was traveling, I asked for a massage therapist because, yeah, I was a little bit hurt or just stiff. And I made a lot of vacation in Florida and met there once, organized from a hotel, a physiotherapist, and yeah, he helped me, and it was so good, was the best I ever experienced. So always when I was in Florida, I called him and said, I'm back again, I need an appointment. And he was so good, I invited him to come to Europe, to Hamburg. It was a week in Hamburg, and every of my employee had to go in this massage room. So everybody has to have a massage from him. In February 96, I was again in Florida, and I called again, I'm here again, so please, when you have time. And then he came and said, I'm in the Nikon business. Oh, whatever it is, doesn't matter. He is in the Nikon business, and I did something else in Germany. Yeah, and he said, you have to buy this one. It will help. Crazy. Can't help. 14 years problems, yeah? 14 years problems, and went to a lot of doctors, massage therapists. Yeah. But during the massage, I had it on the table, and I felt, oh, it's warm. Something is. Okay, because I knew him for a long time, I had him in Hamburg, so I trusted him. And I bought stuff, insoles, a couple of minis, a seat, and flex. I bought two flex because I had in my office someone who has problems too. So I went home with this, and okay, I started to feel better. And I gave the other flex to my colleague. 3 days later, I asked him if he felt something. He said, oh, Monday when you gave me the flex, in the afternoon I went home, and the wife from the neighbor was there, and she said he had back problems, so I gave her the flex. So, no, I have no experience. Okay, so we have to get another one. how to get another one? I'm not raised with computers, so I looked in a book in Germany, who is delivering what, and I found a company named Nikon. So I called the company and I said, is it possible to sell a little bit of your stuff? He said, yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, then please send me some brochures. Okay, we will do. What's your address? So a couple of days later, I got a huge packet. And there was a dig for this file or whatever in, very big brochure, and I opened it up, and it was huge metal working tables. So I called him again. Sorry, I didn't explain really what I wanted. Not the big things, well, these are small things for health, you know? So, no, I have asked a colleague. No, that's not, you know, that's not from us. So. It was another company called Nikon, but not this Nikon. Yeah, what to do? Well, I was very busy with my old business. So once in a while I thought about Nikon and asked a friend. I had a friend who was very busy traveling around the globe and has connections to Japan. And I asked him, can you find a company called Nikon in Japan? I think it's coming from Japan. So then after a couple of weeks, he gave me an address in Tokyo. There is a company called Nikon. So I wrote this company a letter. They never answered. Maybe they thought crazy, because our Nikon is not in Tokyo. It's it's not from Tokyo. So it was a different Nikken. I had a client who is the boss of Warner Brothers Europe, and I know he often flies to LA. And I had the idea, maybe Nikken is in this area of LA. So I asked him, if next time in LA, can you please find Nikken for me? Yeah, and I got an address of LA, Nikken LA. It was a designer studio. Wow, nice. So it was very hard for me to get the information. Eh? So I never really tried hard to get to Nikken. But at the end of 96, then I wrote the book Clicking. I just thought this morning, and now it's with 17th trend. So not only 16, but a new trend is in it. And this idea that this company is coming from Japan, building success in America, hitting all the 16 trends, that made me nervous. Now I have to find Nikken. Today, for me, it's okay that I didn't find it earlier, because Nikken wasn't in Europe. They started in the end of 96. So, just the universe protecting me. Yeah, that's... So, and then I tried, and then I called again someone in the US, and I, can you find... And then finally they gave me a phone number. That might be the phone number from Nikken in Europe. So I called this number. It wasn't Nikken. Something else. So I sat looking at this number, and I don't know why I changed one of these different numbers. One. I can't tell you why I made the right change. Then I called again, and then I had Nikken UK. And it was the right Nikken. So, and then I finally had Nikken on the phone, and after a year, yeah. And then I asked him if it's possible maybe to sell a little bit of their stuff. So, oh, yes, yeah. Next Wednesday is a distributor meeting in Germany in Cuxhaven. What? I'm looking for a year for Nikken, and there's a distributor meeting? So, okay, I have to accept it. Where and when? So I decided to drive to Cuxhaven from Hamburg. It's not so far, but it's a worse drive. Just a small road and a lot of traffic. I picked up my wife, and we drove to Cuxhaven. She was coming from England with a ferry. So at 1 o'clock, and she wasn't really happy not going home. She said, no, we go to Cuxhaven. Cuxhaven, not heaven. Heaven sounds so nice. So the meeting should start at 4 o'clock. We arrived at 5. So 4 hours for, I don't know, 100 kilometers or whatever it is. So we went to the reception. It was a hotel. And said, where is the Nikken meeting? Oh, yes, please come with me. And he got out of the hotel again, over the parking place, to another entrance, opened the room, and said, here! Nobody was in it. So, where's the Nikken meeting? I thought, you are from Nikken. No, I'm not from Nikken. I just want to attend this meeting. Yeah, he wasn't real sure if they're coming or not, because they phoned, yeah, we come, then they canceled, and then we come again. So we thought you were from Nikken. No. So 4 hours drive, nice, empty room. So but I had my phone number, I called again, and they told me, yes, there should be a meeting, and Mark Baker, who should run the meeting, was ill that day, so he couldn't come. Nice. But maybe at 7 o'clock there will be something. So they made another phone call and reached someone. They said, yeah, it looks like there will be something because there is someone on the way to Cuxhaven. So it was 5 p.m. So we decided, okay, let's have dinner and wait till 7. Maybe something is happening. Yeah? 6:30, I saw someone with a huge black bag going over the parking place. So we were like, oh, there will be something. Because there was a green written Nikken on the black back. So at 7 we went to the room, not empty, or 10 or 12 Spanish people in the far north in Germany. 12 Spanish people. Oh. So, yeah, and if you not have really idea what Nikan is all about, as okay, and you minis and the flex, but then you see the kilt and pets and say, My wife Rebecca had no idea what it is. Said, "Oh yeah, that's what we're driving for." So and yeah, I said hello. Where are you? Where are you coming from? Said, "Yeah, I heard and I want to attend." Yeah, so okay, please come in. So and then they started this. Mark Baker should come and make a preview. I never did a preview. A very smart, nice Spanish man. That is, I never did a preview. I have no clue what a preview is. But we will try. So he took the green book and like a flip chart and tried to make a preview. It was very nice, but so unprofessional. It was hard to stay the hour there. Very nice, kind people, but if you think about business, oh God. Yeah. And then we got back in our car and drove home, and I told Rebecca, that is our future. And she, what? No! Never, are you crazy? Are you crazy? But I said, yeah, when they are doing this, there are millions and millions out there. So that will be real huge. So I wrote a letter to Nikan and said, okay, I attended this, well, not very professional, very nice people, but not very professional. So I try to call you again, and then, because I had no idea of network marketing. I didn't know that you can sign up in a kitchen. My thinking was, you have to go to a company. I said, hello, that's Wolfgang Sonnenburg, here are my papers, maybe you can work together or whatever. Yeah. So I called again, Nikan, had Mark Baker on the phone and said I attended this meeting and I'm interested in selling a little bit of his products. Is it possible to meet? I want to see the company. I thought he want to see me. Yeah? So I'm willing to come over and said, yeah, come next Friday. There's a distributor meeting again. and maybe most of your question will be answered. So I bought a ticket. And Friday, 16th of May, 1997, I flew over to Heathrow, rented a car, and drove to Milton Keynes, around about an hour. I was a little bit late, meeting started at 10, and I came in 10:15. So I go to the reception and ask, oh, hello, I'm Wolfgang Sonnenburg, I want to speak with Mark Baker. Mark Baker? No, he is not in town today, he is in London. Oh, God. Again. He told me there is a meeting. Yeah, there is a meeting. You can go in. So I went in the meeting room, and because I had no idea what it is, and it was late, so I found a place in the last row. And then I looked. I was in Great Britain, no? So I expected to have distributors from Great Britain. After a while, I recognized, strange. They are all from America. 20 distributors. Two from Canada and the rest all from the United States. So what is this? Maybe the business is not good there, so they have to look for another market. Yeah. But well, they look well dressed. So maybe the business is good there, and now they're coming to Europe. Well, I thought, no, that's not necessary. So today I know it was a 6% meeting, yeah? I had no idea what a 6% meeting is, yeah. So it was not a real meeting, so it was a question and answering, and so it was very strange, yeah, for me, if you have no idea what it is. So one guy in the front, after a while, was sitting there, and then he stands up, just stood up, then sat down again, stood up after a while. Today, I know, he just flew in that morning. So he was tired and feared to fall asleep. That's why he stood up all the time. Well, that's why how I recognized him. And he is German, living in Florida. And he wanted to go to Germany to build Nikan business there. Family or whatever contact. So after a while, on to the end of the meeting, he asked Brian Taylor, who ran the meeting at the time, how is the business in Germany? And Brian answered, slow, very slow. I can't tell really why, but suddenly a voice came out of me and said, I will change it. So, and Igor, who was the guy who stood up, turned his head. That he wanted to go to Germany, and now someone thinks that I will change it. So after this meeting, he came to me, want to have more information how we are doing the distribution with the magnets. I said, I have no idea. I'm a first time here. I can't, don't know how to do the business. So he realized, oh, that's not a distributor. So suddenly he had time. Yeah. Yeah. There was a colleague who wanted to go to lunch with him. He says, no, go alone. Yeah. He took a pet, demo pets rolled on the floor and lay down. I got my first rollout. And I went home with a demo on career pack. Yeah. So when I came home with a demo on career pack and Rebecca, oh God. Yeah, that's how I found my sponsor. Yeah. So here he is, honest, and said, he never really thought he will see me again. Yeah, but a couple of days later, I called him on 29th of May, so it's nearly 3 years ago. I have some people, up to 20. Can you please come and make a presentation? Because I had no idea. Yeah, just had a couple of products, that's all. Yeah, he came and made the presentation. And in this first preview, were my first three diamonds. Yeah. So that was the start. So, and after a while, we did the preview alone. Huh? Now, Igor is most of the time in Florida and checking the checks. Huh? He is still platinum. Well, maybe diamond this month. Oh, well, platinum, and last month he got $56,000. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I don't know. I think he never really did the business. Yeah. I will tell you later, or we can do it. Is Marlene here? No, then she can't see that I'm doing. Oh, and don't tell her that I'm now talking about something that's not on the internet. She told me, do this first, and then when time, yeah, great. But maybe it's a good idea to understand this. I identified five types of prospects. Yeah. Type one, maybe you have him in the United States also, is someone who says, stay away. Stay away, go away. It's pyramid, sect, whatever they say. Yeah, so you can't do nothing with these. Yeah? You have some of these here? Yeah? Type two says, I love the product, but I don't sign anything. So they pay the whole price, including the 25%. Yeah? It's okay. So we have a good, yeah, the retail. Type three, I love the product, but I don't want to pay the whole price. I want to save money, so I want to buy wholesale. So save the 25%. I call him an active customer, because why we did this is to get to know what we have to do. With type three, I have to train them how to buy, how to order by themselves. Otherwise, if he needs some more stuff, he will call me. Imagine I have 100 of them, no freedom anymore. That's the old economy. Eh? So I help them that they learn to order by themselves. Type 4, loves the product, want to save 25%, and loves to sell. Yeah. So, type 4, I have to train how to order, and what is it, how to make an invoice, receipts, and explain all the products. As this type knows what to sell, yeah, and how to sell. And then type 5 loves it all, plus want to build an organization. So I look at these prospects, especially when I'm starting to sign them up, then I want to know, where are they now? And if you don't identify it right, maybe they treat them wrong. If you have type 3 and treat them like type 5, you can kill them. Yeah? We all love to have the 5s, but it's not good to treat everybody as a type 5. And that's not forever, it's just at that day. Yeah? But you have to know what to do at that day. And you have to know where you want to spend your time the next week, or what you have to do with this. Yeah? And what happened to me? I'm type 5, but someone treated me as a 2. Yeah? Didn't explain me the business, didn't show me a marketing plan, nothing. Just sold some products. Yeah. Treated me like a 2. Yeah. Now that's why I, after 1.5 years, had no real drive, because normally we go to sign up there where we had the first contact. But if someone treated me wrong, never tried to make a follow-up, nothing, then I decided not to go back to find him. Yeah. So, learn the lesson. Better tell the whole story. Yeah? You never know. You never know. Costs you millions. Yeah? They can change. Some start here, and after a while, they go there. They can change from here to there. A lot of say, oh yes, I want to build an organization, and after 2 weeks, say, oh, it's combined with work? No, then I go on with yeah. So, that's what we teach in Germany. Really look where you have your people, where they are. We want to all have type 5. We need them. But be aware, they are not doing most of the volume. The volume is coming from 3 and 4. They are organizing the business. So we need them all. Yeah, love them. Don't hate them when they say just want to be a 3 or 4 or whatever. We need them all. Yeah? So, let's look what it is. What's going on in Europe? Something like this. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. I can't wait.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, just break it.
Oops. Thank you. So, what's going on in Europe? Let's explain a little bit of the market. Why could I found Spanish people in Cuxhaven? From Japan, there was good connections to Brazil. And Nikken opened, I don't know when, in the 80s, Brazil. And in Brazil, they speak Portuguese. You say Portuguese? Yeah. Portuguesish. Portuguese. So, and then it was easy, the family contacts or friends contacts from Brazil to Portugal. Yeah. So, and then Portugal, Spain, neighbors. So the business came to Portugal and Spain at the beginning of the 90s, or the end of 80s, I don't know, around 90. But all from Brazil, not organized from Niken as a headquarter, and let's make the European market. So in a lot of Spanish families have members working all in Europe, some in Germany. So a brother of a Spanish Niken distributor made a contact to Cuxhaven. That's why it came. And it was all the old system. Yeah? Like you had it here before in 95. I think something the same or similar. When Niken decided to go to the European market, they opened up a headquarter in Milton Keynes, brought in the new marketing plan, and then they cut the connection between Brazil and Spain, said, okay, now we have a headquarter here, now the connection between Milton Keynes and Spain. It changed totally because they had a new marketing plan, and it slowed the business down because they didn't get the message from the new marketing plan. So the real first country they opened was UK. After a while, Mark Baker got a phone call from Sweden, and he was asked, when is the next preview in Sweden? He said, there is no preview because Niken is not in Sweden. No, last week I attended a preview. Oh, so he quickly opened up Sweden. And the business started quite well in Sweden. Then he opened up the Netherlands, then Germany, and then again Portugal and Spain and Italy and France, and then came Finland, Iceland, and last weekend Austria. That's the country is now open. By the end of this year we also have Israel open. So Germany was number 4 or 5 opened, and I was number 68, I heard, signed up in Germany. I was not the first one. Yeah. And the business started growing in UK and Sweden. And I think in the UK they made about the time when I started 300,000 points, something like this. 3 years later, UK is doing around 500,000 points, the whole country. So from 300 to 500. Really nothing. Yeah. Sweden went to nothing to 500-600. Sweden is normally number 2. Spain has 4 diamonds from the old system. So it's just the wind. Yeah, live show. Oh, that will help, thank you. Thank you. So, back to Spain. I have the sales volume from February. In February, the whole country, Spain, did 20,000 points. So 4 diamonds all together could create 1 silver. Yeah, is it crazy? Portugal, 37,000. Netherlands, about 30,000. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, thank you. So that was the situation in Europe. The country who is financing all this is Germany. Yeah. We made last month 3.5 million. So it's a huge gap between the other countries. Over the last year, we did 52-56% of the whole European sales volume. And at the beginning of this year, we came up to 60%. So. In February, I think they had about something between 60 and 100. Yeah. Thousand points. France is number 4. Italy is, I think, number 5. Yeah. So, you see, it doesn't matter who is first. Yeah. So, Germany wasn't the first country. I was not the first one who signed up. But I was the first one who thought it could be a good business. Yeah, and you have the same preview charts when it started as a business opportunity. A lot of people are coming to the preview, they, oh, that's a hobby opportunity. Yeah? It's, for me, it's a business. I went in because of the business. I want to make money. And so what we have to do? So what is a job? And you sign an application form, it says you're a distributor. So what is our job? To distribute product the company has. The company want to get rid of all the products. That's our job. So that's why I started to think, okay, what do we have to do in Germany? How many bedrooms, how many beds we have in Germany? How can I organize that every German has a Nikke mattress? That's a job I had to do. So, and Marlene asked me to show what is the difference, or what makes a difference. Jack Black, nearly the fastest diamond with Nikken from Great Britain. The fastest, but poorest. Yeah, he always says it from stage. Because he was good in selling, but not building the organization. He has a seminar organization, he has not 100 name lists, he has 100,000 name lists. And when he decided to make Nikken, he invited 500 people. Yeah, and said, wop, 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 and then 30, 50, 60 bought products for 5,000 points. In December last year, no, the year before, his personal group volume was 400,000 something. Imagine. Yeah. 7 times 60K. Yeah. So he's a good seller. But then it stopped. They all had products, but didn't know what to do. So his business came, yeah, that was his business. So he started to find out what's the difference between UK and Germany. And an expo in England, he presented some numbers of Europe. He asked Milton Keynes, please can you explain me why the Germans are doing so good and the Brits not. So, from authorship, or need, office to office we didn't have at that time. How many are using it in Great Britain and how many are using it in the UK? So, need. From all in Europe, yeah, 20% came from Great Britain, 65% of all need users coming from Germany. Authorship, 20%, Germany 60%. Silver training, at that time, something around 400. In Germany, imagine England was the first country we came a couple of months later. Yeah. It was around, I don't know exactly, let's say 1,200. Gold training, it was 47. Germany, 148. Yeah. So, and it was a number from October last year. And if you see the whole sales volume in Europe in October last year, Great Britain did 80%, Germany 54%. So, 18 and 54%. Yeah? Total European sales volume. Yeah? So, why is this important to see this? Maybe there is a connection. See here, we have 20%, we have here 20%, and we have here 18. Here, and we have here 60, and here 54. If you see this, maybe there is a connection. How many in your organization are using NEAT, office to office, authorship? You all heard about the critical mass, the idea of the critical mass? So if you have 10 or 12% from something, then it will spread out. Did you ever look at your organization, how high is the percentage of users in need, authorship, office to office, Kenkucom? I can recommend, at least you need 10%. Go for the critical mass. Yeah, so what we did, started with NEAT, now we were 15, 16%. Yeah, so we are over, now it's duplicatable, now they do it. Now we go to office, the moment it's starting office to office, we're around 6%. And we hopefully get authorship started, because we have not the nutrition at the moment, will come next year. So I could convince Mark Baker for the next year accept insults, which wasn't possible in Germany, so we can increase the percentage. I go at least for the 12% authorship. That's the minimum I want to have. So if you really believe in critical mass, look always what you need, what you want to have, and work on. So we use expos and all events and workshops to train, go into need. And we use it on a regular basis, all information and going through NEAT. It's very helpful, not for team only, just for the whole country. Here's a new preview, here's something going on, whatever. Yeah? And that helps to not only to give the information, it's kind of energy. If you hear, oh, there's something going on, there's something going on, maybe you think, okay, then I do also something, yeah? So, it's not by accident that the company has this. Yeah. Use this and take it serious. So now the first try. It's working.
Hey, Wolfgang.
Yes. Yeah. That's the first step. When I have 12, then I go for whatever, 16, 18, 20, 25, and so on. Sorry? So you don't know what a critical mass is? Yeah, critical mass, you have some say 10%, some say 12%. So if you're not sure, you better go to 12. Yeah? Then you're sure. That's why. That was the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
If there are more active distributors in Germany, one would expect there to be more people on auto
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying there are more oil changes for cars in America compared to China because there are more cars. Yeah. And that doesn't mean you should open grease monkeys in China.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's my decision to make them active.
Okay.
It's happened, nothing is happening by accident.
So you do think that the need in the auto shift is...
Critical, would you say? Yeah? You would say critical. It's critical.
Because it increases communication and awareness.
And if you decide to do this, what happens? Yeah. At least you have to do, but they make a decision. Okay, I want to be someone who is doing the business. They're getting more information and then they start to change. So at least go and things you want to have for the critical mass. The one thing I learned here in the United States was a year ago, there was a month, 17,000 signed up, 16,000 didn't buy products. Only 1,000 bought products.
Like so
you have to, if you believe in critical mass, and you do it again and again, which group will hit the critical mass first? So if you let this happen, you will kill your business. You will kill your market, because then you go to people and say, "We want to sign up for Nick Kennedy." "Oh yeah, I did it last year. Well, nothing happened." Yeah. I would love if the company could, just a matter of the law, could say, you can only be a distributor when you buy. For me, it makes no sense signing an application form, not buying anything. What is the advantage to sign up? Save 25%. If you're not buying, you're not, no advantage. If you say, I want to build an organization, at least you have to buy for 500 points. It's a minimum. If someone says, I want to sign up to have the starter kit that I can read the green book, so I say it's not necessary. Here is the green book. Read it. You only have a video. Okay, look at the video. And then come again. So it's what you want, what you're training, what you duplicate. Yeah? So I talk about buying, or I talk about business. I train thinking in business. The beauty with the Nikken contract is everybody can do what I like with Nikken. The company is not forcing us to do something. But when everybody can do what I want to do, so I can do what I want to do also. And I want to do sales volumes. I want to have sales volume in my organization. I want to have a big organization. And that's what I think. That's what I am, that's what I do, then have. If you don't really want it, you don't talk about it, you really can't have it. It's not possible. Yeah? It's so easy, sorry, it's so easy. But it will change if you change here. Make a decision, really. Why signing someone up who is not interested in buying? Why? Just going home and say, I have a new one. I made some mistakes in the beginning. I signed too many up. If you're really interested in product demonstration, I recommend buy products and then immediately quit. It's not necessary to go to meetings because you have the products. So Nguyen can call someone and then make a product presentation. And in the evening you go home and tell your wife, oh, I had a wonderful day, I had a product demonstration. The next day you make appointments for product presentation. And you go, please sit still, don't disturb me, I make a product presentation. Huh. Wonderful. And you go home again, it was a wonderful day. I had the opportunity for a product presentation. So I'm not interested in product presentation, I'm not interested in appointments to do a rollout. That's not what I signed up. Oh, is somewhere else here who sign up? Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity to make 100 rollouts this year. That's why I sign up. But How many of your distributors are thinking, making appointments for product demonstration, for rollouts or whatever? What do you really want? What is it what you really want? Yeah, you want a business, you want to people should buy, or sign up, or whatever. So think about my appointment for this. Is it change? Yeah. Everybody is 100% successful. Everyone. So if you really have a mind, I want to have appointments for product demonstration, then you will have the opportunity to make product presentations. You will have it. Yeah, maybe. It depends a little bit. It's not on the schedule at the moment. I want to have business. And that's what I'm looking for. And I'm talking about it. So I started calling friends. Like Britta, I said yesterday, wow, that's wonderful. Do it. Trust me, do it. And I tell it, made to explain, if you really can't use it and you say after 3 months it's nothing for you, I take the stuff back and get the money back from me. Because I had no problem, I need the product anyway. So I never got the product back. It's one, but it's not the regular way or normal way. What I normally do is call someone and say, I need your support, I need your help. So, especially when I started, I called different cities. When I started in Hamburg, I called someone in Berlin. I didn't saw him for 15 years. I said, hello, I'm doing something new. I need your help. I want to start it in Berlin also. I don't know anybody. Please, you have an hour. I want to show you what I'm going to do. So he took the time and explained it. I said, okay, now you know what I'm going to do. You can help me. To make it easier for me, you know, marketing plan, I need 3 to go to the top. Do you know 3 who are really interested? Working 3, 4, 5 years with me, and then they financially free for the rest of their life? Do you know someone who is interested in this? I never ask him, would you join me? Once in a while, they say, can I join? Yeah? Yeah? This guy is gold now, yeah? But it doesn't matter for me if he joins or not. I'm not in the business to get you. Remember silver training. What is important? Attention is important, not method. If you say, I want this guy, he has a lot of names, I want him, you're going in method, and that's not so important. You know, what you really want? I want a strong business, I want a lot of money. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm asking for. Do you know 3? And that's the way I get contacts. Now, it's maybe when I again in Hamburg, it's not so easy to say I want to start something in Hamburg because there's something going on already. But you can use the method different. What I do today is I call, let's say, a hairdresser. Say, I need your help. So, and I talk for an hour and show this and that. And I'm really good at the moment in the market of the teachers or doctors. But I don't know why. I never get really hairdressers in the business. I had no contact. What would you do when you were me? Do you know 3 hairdressers who might be interested in this? So you can go with his story every day to another person. And yesterday I told you there are only 3 reasons why people say no. The second is they have not enough information. Yeah? Yeah, they have not enough information. That's why they say no to the business. If you go to someone and say, I want you. And they feel that you want to sell something. What are they doing? Look at their body language. What are they doing? What is this? They wait. Maybe they are quiet. They are not open. And when you go the indirect way, show them that you not really want them. They are open. And you get more information in. Yeah? And when they have more information, then you have more yes. Yeah? You can help me think about it and start giving names. Yes, I know. And then they bite. Yeah? Them together and say, oh, can I join? That's far forth. Or if they don't think about it, just, yes, I know, da 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 da. Then you can say, to be fair, when I'm now going to them and they want to join, the contact is coming from you. Are you not interested? Yeah? If you know such people, why are you not joining? So it's always a way to make a contact with them. Yeah? That's my way of I work. I never... Britta is really the only way I call it. Britta, I want you. Yeah? And if you want someone, you can do this. You can say, okay, I'm starting a business, a real good business, and what we need people who are able to make a workshop and have no fear to stand in front of a group, and I know you're used to it. That's why I really love to have you in the business. Then explain why you want them. And just show them that they are able to do it. Yeah? But very important is that you show them that you don't need them. If they feel that you need them, then the business idea is not good. When they have the feeling that you need them to pay your bills, then they get the idea they have to work that you can pay your bills. So, the business idea can't be good and you can't be good. Why are you joining you? Yeah. So always, I do it anyway, you join or not. Nikon will succeed. As I told you, what I realized, Nikon did billions of sales in Asia, billions of sales in America, and all without me. They can do it, and they will do it in Europe. They will do it without me. So they don't need me, really. So the same is for me. I will do the business. I do it. And I don't need you. I want you, but I don't need you. Yeah? Let's work together. Let's have fun together. Let's have success together. Yeah? Go anyway. Go to financial freedom. And don't care if others love to be poor. That's their choice. So, what do we do next? Draw out the group. So, first was Britta. Then we had Frank. Then Mo Maas. It was a nice story. Why do I have to share this story? Mo Maas. I talked to you about my first preview. And it was in the evening after dinner, after a regular business meeting I had about financial stuff in Texas. And I asked a couple of people, please stay after dinner, I have something different. And I don't know why, when I in the morning entered the meeting, Mo Maas was sitting there. I didn't expect him to sit there. And I asked my secretary, why is he sitting here? She said, yeah, I invited him. Why did you invite him? I thought I should. I said, no. It's not for this meeting. Okay, now he's there. Okay.